John 4, 1 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will well in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. My name is Arthur, and I'm one of the pastors here at VRBC. And I'm so excited to share God's word with you this morning. And how are you? Okay, cool. I thought for the first time being here, if I said, "How are y'all?" I would have this instant connection with you. So, how are y'all? See? That works. Thank you. I wasn't expecting so many of you here this morning. Of course, except for those that I paid to be here. But that's a surprise. Thank you so much. A good surprise. Thank you. So, as we wrap up Christmas and look forward to the new year, we're going to talk this morning about responses. And you know, every time that somebody says something to you, you have a response. Every time that somebody gives you something, you have a response. And every time that somebody does something to you, you will have a response. So imagine that somebody asks you, "Hey, how was your day?" And you're going to probably answer, "That's good. Thank you. It was good." And you just arrived here and somebody offers you, "Hey, you can sit here." You're going to say, "Thank you. Thank you so much." Or imagine that you are going to work and you are in a hurry and there is this heavy traffic and you are trying to pass one car and another car and somebody honks at you. You turn your head and you say, "God bless you, brother." God bless you, right? We are Christians. We say that. God bless you. So, now we just came for Christmas season, this amazing holiday. Actually, it's my favorite season of the year, and it's filled and surrounded by expectations about what we will get from Santa. We want something, we expect to get something. And hopefully, at some point of your life, you had seen something like this.
Ready.
Such a joy, right? Actually, that was my response when Larry told me that I would preach here today. Yes! Not really. When you think about your kids, when I picture my kids, you know, for about 6 months, they think, they dream, they ask, they beg for some toy or something that they really want for Christmas. I think they really want that. So, of course, you know that almost all the times, we do everything that we can to fulfill that desire. So we prepare the surprise, and on the 25th, they get that gift they want so much. And they open it, they're happy, and they spend the whole day without eating, without talking to you, probably without a shower, because they don't want to miss even 1 minute without enjoy that so desired gift. But then, after a week, guess what happens? They just forget that and start to dream and want and ask for the next one. Isn't that crazy? But it's a good thing that only happens to kids, right? Yeah. So a lot of people in the Gospels had different responses to the gift that Jesus was giving to them. Some people just ignored, were indifferent, and some people just rejected, like the rich man that asked Jesus, "What I need to have eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "You need to give up all of your wealth." And he thought, "I don't think that's for me." But today, we are going to look into a story that has two responses to the gifts that Jesus gave. So my question for you today is this: what is your typical response when you receive a gift? So we just heard from Lisa, thank you Lisa, from the book of John, one of the coolest conversations in the New Testament that Jesus had with someone else. In this case, the conversation was with a woman, but not any woman. She was Samaritan. And actually, we're going to see that Jesus gives two gifts to the woman. So let me give you a little background about this conversation. Jesus was coming from a long journey, and he was tired, he was thirsty, and he was trying to find a place to rest, and he decided to sit at the well as he was waiting for something to happen. So this Samaritan woman comes alone to draw water from the well, and Jesus takes the first step to start a conversation with her, as we see in verse 7. How Larry does that? Because you know the difference between the senior pastor and the freshman pastor? Is that the TV obeys the senior pastor. So when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" So what is important to know here? First, she was a woman. Second, she was alone. And then, she was Samaritan. You know, at that time, a man talking to a woman was something, was a huge deal. If she was alone, that could be a scandal. So it was part of the DNA of that culture. So first, it was not proper. And second, unfortunately, at that time, women were not considered at the same level as men. But Jesus wasn't concerned about that, we are going to see. All of these things could be overcome, but being a Samaritan, that would be something. So even the women, we see in verse 9, was surprised that Jesus was trying to talk to her. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And I can imagine Jesus like, "Hey, will you give me a drink?" She was like, "Yeah, yes, you, give me a drink." She was, "You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan." But Jesus wasn't concerned with her background. What is fantastic here is that Jesus was concerned in her about her response. So the first gift Jesus gave to the woman is that Jesus breaks down barriers. And Jesus does the same thing right now today for you and for me. Jesus is breaking down barriers. He wants to take the first step to start a relationship with you and with me. So Jesus starts this conversation like those conversations when you are on the bus or on the subway. And if you're in Brazil, you're probably being like a canned sardine. And personal space doesn't happen. That's not a word that we know, an expression that we know. You are surrounded by human warmth. So, you try to turn your head to your side and say, see the weather, crazy, right? Just starting a conversation. Jesus did the same thing. He starts a conversation and something extraordinary happens. From verse 10, Jesus starts to talk about a gift, but not an ordinary gift. He's talking about the gift. So Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And I love the comparison with the soul, with the traveler wandering through a desert. He's thirsting for happiness and seeking it everywhere, but doesn't find it. He looks to all directions and all objects, but he's not able to find it. Nothing meets his desires. He seeks joy in wealth and pleasures, and yet he's not satisfied. And just like the child who forgets the one gift to dream about the next one, he still thirsts for more. To such a weary and unsatisfied soul, the grace of Christ is like cold water to a thirsty soul. Psalm 36:9 says, for with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. And the prophet Jeremiah says that it is the Lord who is the spring of living water. That's what Jesus was trying to give to the woman. So, you already know that Jesus was talking to this woman at the well, which wasn't common. He wasn't concerned. She was a woman, she was alone, she was Samaritan. Jesus was concerned with her soul. And because of that, he knew that what she needed was a gift. But not any gift, was the gift. So we see in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask and he would give you the living water. And the background here is Jesus as the provider of the source of genuine water. And here, Jesus gives her one more gift. The second gift is Jesus brings the living water. In the following verses, the woman was trying to understand what was the gift that Jesus was trying to give her. She was trying to figure out why or what was that. And she says, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? She was, okay, you're going to give me this, but you have nothing to get this water, you're saying? You're going to give me that, but how? And Jesus answers the woman, that's so cool. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He was saying, hey, I'm not talking about this water. I'm not talking about this natural resource that ends, that dries out under the sun. I'm talking about something bigger than that. And you know why? Because I am. You know, I am the Word. And in the beginning, I was with God. And actually, I am God. So what I'm going to give you will quench your thirst forever because I'm going to give you eternal life. Let's look at verse 15 and see the first response that the Samaritan woman gave to Jesus after he offers that greatest gift. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Here, she demonstrates an interest in what Jesus was offering to her, but she still doesn't get it. Will you quench my thirst forever? Of course, I want that. But when she says, so I won't have to keep coming here to draw water, she was still connecting that gift that was coming from above to something temporary, something from this world. So Jesus, however, wasn't satisfied with her response. And he knew that she needed more work. So then he asked, hey, bring your husband here. And when Jesus asked that to her, he wasn't expecting that she would bring her husband there because he knew what was going on in her life. Actually, Jesus was trying to work with her to help her to understand how to use that gift. Maybe you had this great experience when you first understood that God has given you the greatest gift. But after some time, other things became more important to you. After some time, your life settled in a routine and you just come to church because you have to, or maybe you have nothing else to do. We want to have a good life, but that desire to serve God doesn't exist anymore. If you ever been a parent of a toddler, you might have this experience before, when you spend a lot of time researching, thinking about the greatest Christmas gift to your son, to your daughter. And when you buy the gift, you wrap it up, and you can't wait to see their reaction, their response. But what happens is that when you give it, they end up leaving the gift on the floor and play with the box, right? And this is exactly what happened with the Samaritan woman. Jesus was trying to give this greatest gift to her, but she was playing with the box. What was inside was so great, so marvelous, but she was paying attention more to the outside of the box, and she forgot to take a look in what was inside. So first potential response we have here is playing with the box. Do we sometimes pay more attention to the external rather than what is inside of the box? It is possible that we are missing the greatest gift. For several times in my life, I was paying attention to the external of the box, and I forgot to take a look of what was inside. And I spent a lot of time without knowing what was inside. Jesus never gives up. Jesus never gives up on you. Jesus never gives up on me. And, you know, when you call your son or your daughter, hey son, come here. I'm going to explain you how to use that. I'm going to explain you how to play with what was inside, what is inside. Jesus is always patient and persistent to help us to understand how to use, how to appropriate the gift, how to respond to the gift. So now, Jesus asked the woman to bring her husband, and she answered in verse 17, sir, I have no husband. And Jesus already knew that. And it's interesting that he goes on saying, yeah, you're right, point for you. You have no husband because you had five husbands before, and this one that you live with, that's not your husband. That worked in her mind. It was like a key that opened her eyes to a new world. And a couple of weeks ago, Larry was saying that Jesus gives us new lenses to see the world in the same way that Jesus sees it. She was having a high definition vision of that world. And as she sees it, she was having questions, of course. You are Jew and I'm Samaritan. How? But Jesus goes deeper as he is trying to explain to her the value of that greatest gift. And he said that Jew, Samaritan, Brazilian, American, that doesn't matter. The Father is seeking for those who respond to this greatest gift. And he concludes by saying to her in verse 26, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Now the best part of all of this is what is going to lead us to the second response, sharing the gift. Look what happens in verses 28 and 29. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She left everything behind. And like our kids, when they get the gift they've been asking for, they're dreaming about, she runs and shares that what she got. Look, look what I got. Come see, see, come see here. Look what I got. Think with me. When you give a gift to a beloved person, to your wife, your son, your daughter, and you spend a lot of time trying to find the right Christmas gift, you think about the wrapping paper, the bow, all the details to make this gift special to someone special. Isn't it great when you see that your loved ones not only enjoyed the gift, but also share that with others? And I think when I was a kid, I loved to play video games. But it was way more fun when I had a partner to play with me. It was cool to play by myself, but having a partner to have contests and disputations and everything, that was great, way more fun. So, as you reflect on the greatest gift that the Samaritan woman got from Jesus, think about this response. When she understood that what Jesus was giving her wasn't something that would be broken after weeks, that wasn't something that would need repair. It was a gift from above, something that would last forever. Her eyes were open to a new world. And she realized that that gift was shareable. She went back to the village to share that with others and to give them the same opportunity that she had. Look, look what I got. And she realized that what she got was so great, so marvelous, that she couldn't keep it just for herself. She wanted to share that. And this is exactly what Jesus wants from us. Mark Withers says that the woman has gone from complete ignorance about Jesus to an awareness that immediately takes hold of her. She has journeyed from deafness to discipleship. Moreover, we learned at the end of this story that the woman's message about Jesus opened the way for the positive response of the whole village. Let's see what verse 39 and 42 says. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's exciting. So that's what the greatest gift given by Jesus can do in us. Like the Samaritan woman, we received the greatest gift. The greatest gift ever. And why not share that with others? Why not give to others the opportunity to receive the same grace, the same everlasting life together with Jesus? I read recently about two followers of Jesus that shared the gift they had received. They wanted to make a difference at that time. It was the 19th century, and they lived near the military base in West Point, New York. They were influenced by Christ, and they wanted to influence and were intentional about influencing others. This woman decided to try share their faith with the soldiers on the military base, and they end up teaching and serving them for many, many years. Together, the sisters wrote a song and taught it to the man. At first, they didn't think that they would care about that. But later, the soldiers could be heard marching across the campground, singing this song to the cadence they were marching in. This is a cemetery at West Point, and only military personnel are buried there, with the exception of these two ladies. And although you might never heard about these two ladies, I'll bet you know of this song. Its title was engraved on Anna's tombstone. Two simple little grave markers, Anna B. Warner and Susan B. Warner. And below Anna's tombstone, there are the words, "To Jesus loves me." I think you know this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belongs, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. They were so influential upon this cadet's lives that when they passed away, the students demanded that these ladies be buried at West Point Cemetery. They got it. They received the greatest gift ever, and they were so excited about that their response couldn't be other than to share the gift with others. Look what I got. When we look at these two responses, what is the one that we most identify with? Are we playing with the box and missing what was inside? Or are we deeply engaged with the good news of our salvation, so much that we want to share that with others? Friends, my challenge for us today is, first, as we look to this new year and this new season of our life, is first that you will come back to VRBC in spite of my message today. That's my first challenge. The second one, let's share this good news with others. That is so cool, so great, that we cannot keep that just for ourselves. Let's rediscover the gift you got from Jesus and share it with others. Think about this 56,000 people of our community that never had the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus at the well. What a great thing, what a blessing then to endeavor to lead others to partake of this gift. This precious gift is shareable. And the best response we can offer to the giver of the true life, the living water, is to offer to those around us. You and I can make an impact in the lives of our neighbors, on our street, and hopefully in our community. So why not start this new year thinking about that and sharing this precious gift? Look what I got. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for being so kind, so good towards us. Thank you for your grace. But above all things, thank you for the greatest gift ever. This gift that provides us eternal life. Help us to see what is inside of the box and share this amazing gift with those around us. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, help me say thank you to